Hello again, everybody. This is James Bartley, and you're watching and listening to the Cosmic Switchboard Show. Today, my very special guest is Patrick from A Light On podcast. Patrick has recently had me as a guest on his show. If you peruse the archives of his website, you will see that Patrick delves into a lot of different issues, a lot of the very same issues that I'm deeply interested in. So, without any further ado, Patrick, welcome to the Cosmic Switchboard Show.
Hey man, thanks so much for having me.
No, it's a pleasure. I just want to return the favor. I had a great time talking with you in the recent past on your show. But tell us about your voyage of discovery. How did you wind up, where you were at today? Deep delving investigator with a podcast that touches on so many key issues. Tell us a bit about yourself and your journey of discovery.
Oh man, it's been quite a journey. I guess it really started around 2020 with the whole C-19 business, and I just became entrenched in researching everything that had to do with that, because I knew that what was being portrayed in the media wasn't exactly accurate. So I just got really into research. I was staying up, for hours and hours, and just really like soaking in all these topics, and I began posting my own research about, the virus issue and medical science, and that's kind of how I started, and people really took to it. They really appreciated, I guess, truthful information in a time of severe disinfo and censorship. The censorship was, unprecedented. So I started there, and then, we talked a little bit about last time you had asked me, why did you start researching all these things? And I think I really became more interested in, what is evil, and why do all these things happen? What, like, who are these people? Because there was something not human about the whole thing. There was something beyond psychopathy and sociopathy. There was no human connection there for me. And I was always into like true crime before that, and like kind of the psychology of people who did terrible things, because I didn't understand it. But even there, you could see like a human element, right? There was a human link. But with the stuff that was going on in 2020 and all those various events, I didn't feel that human connection. I was like, this is beyond the deletion of empathy. This is beyond anything we know as humans. And so I got into, the occult sciences, the spiritual science of the 18th and 19th century, people like Rudolf Steiner and Blavatsky and, all those types of figures. And I started comparing information, and that's how I really started, and I hit so many different facets.
Didn't take you long to figure out that there was a non-human element behind it. And when one looks at all this and you zoom out, you just see that the way the webs interconnect, the bottom line is all these different activities and institutions seem to be working at cross purposes to human evolution, human development, civilized societies. Everything that's done seems to be inimical to the spiritual, economic, and physical development of the human race.
Absolutely. Yes, it is so, and it became so apparent. Yeah, it became more than apparent that that was the case. And you have to ask yourself why. Why is that happening, and why is there this agenda? And the only thing that really made sense was when I got into this idea of a non-human element or a non-human force. And it goes back to, you can compare it to the biblical stories, and when you compare religions and ancient texts, you see that there's a through line through all of them. And the idea of otherworldly beings or demons or aliens or whatever terminology you want to use isn't so is it's not so crazy, right? It's not such a conspiracy theory that they make it out to be.
Yes, and we see this use of euphemisms, sugarcoating, if you will, even in these latest congressional inquiries into what's now referred to as UAPs, but I can never bring myself to utilize that term. They're always going to be UFOs to me. But they refer euphemistically to alien life forms and alien bodies, or at any rate, non-human bodies, as biologics, which neatly sideskirts the issue, the troubling issue that for so long you go back to the ancient text and the accounts of First Nation peoples all over the world. Not only was there this ongoing interaction with non-human beings, sky ancestors, depending on what society was describing them, but in many cases, and this is well described in mythology and in folklore, there seemed to be a predatory aspect to these non-human life forms as well, which was noted, by mystics and what have you throughout the ages. But they seem to want to keep it at this very clinical level. Oh, look, we have a specimen of a biologic. Never mind what these beings get up to. So I can definitely see a sleight of hand developing with these congressional inquiries.
Yeah, and that's such a great way of describing it. It is kind of it's skirting a lot of issues, and it's keeping the spiritual element out and keeping it solely on a materialistic, the materialistic aspect of everything, because they can control you that way. And really, like the I think the number one thing they really want to keep from people is the spiritual aspect, because when you put the spiritual together with the material, then you have everything. You have the pieces to the puzzle. But what they've done is really, and you can see this in mainstream science, medical science, whatever you want to look at, that it's you just miss a lot of the information because you don't understand that you're more than a physical body, and you can't everything is sort of translated from the spiritual to the physical. So if you're not looking at the whole picture, you're only getting, a one-dimensional view.
And when one, excuse me, gets into the lore of hardcore UFO studies, alien studies into underground bases, what have you, this theme pops up consistently from contactees as well as from people that have been on the inside, like Bob Lazar, who I consider to be legitimate. In one of the briefing papers, Lazar read, human beings were referred to as containers. Containers of what? Well, I think perhaps containers of souls. And it's interesting that in the wake of this rollout of these medical treatments, so-called, the last few years, there definitely seems to be a spiritual component to that as well, Patrick. It's not just the fact, which is troubling enough, that one looks through a microscope, and kudos to all the investigators that have done this and have shared their results with us. You look in there, and you're flabbergasted to see nanotech little Hydra thingies giving you multiple fingers, but there seems to be a spiritual dynamic to it. These people, looking over their left shoulder, flailing their arms at some invisible entity, then they keel over dead, right? And what's come up in the recent past, a podcast that'll be coming out soon on my show, a gal named Kate talks about this, where this demonic entity with wings had pinned her down, got on top of her, and was trying to suck the breath out of her. And in the recent past, and it wasn't just the breath out of her, at the time she was carrying a baby, right? And a friend of mine told me in the recent past her mother was on the verge of passing away in palliative care. Some weird kind of charity group that specializes in going around and keeping terminal patients, accompanying them and hanging out with them, making their last days, comfortable and pleasant. What she found out about this weird couple that was coming around to the palliative ward for her mother, this lady was doing the same thing, like trying to like getting real close to her mother's lips and like trying to suck her breath out, right? And the stories we hear about Pindar, going to the crash site where Princess Diana is and getting the last breath out of her, what have you. Point of relevance to all this is there, it's obvious to some beings, some humans, human hybrids that are in the loop that there is something to do with the breath of life, literally the prana, what have you. And the documented fact that when someone passes away, X number of grams of weight vacate their body. So it's clear that there is definitely a spiritual connection to this control system matrix, Patrick.
Yeah, what is it, 23 grams, something like that? I can't remember.
And that's a
Something like
considerable
that.
amount of weight when you think about it. Yeah.
Yeah, that's so interesting. And I've heard all kinds of stories. I've had people on my show about I had a nurse on my show who saw all kinds of beings. You know, she worked in end of life care, and she witnessed all kinds of different forms. Stuff is so interesting, and I think we really only there's so much to delve into on that. Like, we may never even understand what that's all about.
Well, when you talk about the evil and how it goes beyond sociopathy and psychopathy, I'm reminded of M. Scott Peck's book, People of the Lie, if you read that book. And
Haven't.
he wrote a series of books because he was perplexed the way you and I were. The reason he calls his first book People of the Lie, because these were evil people he was describing. And he was looking at it from a clinical perspective. And like yourself, I used to, in my effort to understand more about the reptilian hybridism, I used to study the work of FBI profilers too. Roy Hazelwood, John Douglas, people like that. Kessler, if that was his last name. But it makes for tough reading because they get into the minds of these people, and they include like the writings and the ravings and the rantings of these people too. And you can clearly see there is some dark force working, some kind of dark consciousness working through these people that compels them to do this. And I would go so far as to say is there are certain cultures, ethnicities, ideologies around the world that spawn this kind of mentality, that spawn this kind of mindset, right? What you and I think of, like, oh, when we're kids struggling with our identity, should I ask her out? You think she'll like me? You think we could actually ever get anything going, her and I? You get let down, you get like uplifted, whatever the case may be. In some of these cultures, they're thinking far beyond that. They're thinking of mutilation, decapitation, rape, torture. Why is that? It's because there seems to be a direct connection between these nether dimensional entities and consciousness that plug right into people and cultures in general, Patrick. It seems to me, anyway.
And I think, mentioning the fact that we were containers is an important link to all of this, because really what we're talking about is energy, and we call like negative energy demons, maybe. But being containers, it leaves us open to certain things, right? Open to certain energies penetrating us. And so we have to kind of figure out, what are those openings? Why do they happen? And you can see, I think we maybe touched on, I don't know if we mentioned Jeffrey Dahmer, people like that. Like, they are definitely people who have let in negative energies that are compelling them to do things, because I don't think humans at their sort of base level are really capable of that without an influence, right? When you see the sort of depraved acts of serial killers like that. That all links together. And it's really interesting. Like, what made me want to talk to you on my show is I was looking into the Nazis, and particularly like the occult aspect of the Nazis, and I saw this old clip of you talking about how methamphetamine was sort of a way for them, a way for people in general to interface with reptilian beings. And then studying the Nazis, I found a little synchronicity. Well, Hitler and the Nazis were taking methamphetamine like crazy.
Even doling it out to their troops, right?
Yes, right. In chocolate.
And it's an example of the ideology too, because if you look at the Japanese Imperial Army and the Japanese Special Naval Landing Forces, but have often been referred to as Marines, the savagery they meted out to their captives, it was like completely beyond the pale. If one looks at the rape of Nanking, for example, Nanjing nowadays, Iris Chang wrote a great book about that. There was a competition between two officers during the rape of Nanking, and the competition was to see how many in the shortest period of time each officer can decapitate a Chinese with their sword, right? And their tally was actually being covered by war correspondents and published in daily newspapers in Japan, right? And one guy wound up with 100 and something, another guy wound up with 97 or something, and then you read further into the accounts shared by Japanese soldiers and officers of what happened in Nanking. I'll never forget one quote. This Japanese soldier said that after a period of time of torturing, killing, raping, mutilating the Chinese, he would look into the eyes of these soldiers, and he said their eyes were like hyenas or leopards. And when he said leopards, that made me wonder because, with felines, they have the vertical slit pupil, similar in a way, ironically, to reptilians. And I go, well, that's interesting because the more someone indulges in that sort of frenzied, sadistic bloodlust, the more they absolutely open themselves up for entities coming in. And so we're talking about eventually a whole, and to use the term in its original meaning, host invading alien army. Okay. If one studies the work of Pierre Sabbach, et cetera, what descended upon Nanking, the Japanese Imperial Army, what descended upon Eastern Europe, the Soviet Red Army, that was literally an army of people taken up as hosts. It was a host of an army taken up as hosts by these non-human entities. And ideologies, creeds, beliefs, hierarchical institutions, they feed into that, Patrick. So now you look at these bureaucrats, these power-tripping bureaucrats, power-tripping cops. It's like there's no reasoning with these people, with these out-of-control Karens, so-called. That's the kind of world we see nowadays around, all around us. And
But
it's
it is
very
really
difficult, even when you want to tune that stuff out, right?
But it is really interesting too. Like it's typically elites, right? That's the through line. You can find this stuff throughout history. It's always the sort of elite members of societies. You can go back to the Aztecs, right? They were sacrificing like thousands of people on these pyramids, right? If you watch the movie Apocalypto, it's a great depiction of that. They're chopping people's heads off. They're taking their hearts out and they're throwing the bodies down. I mean, these were brutal people, and this is repeated in every culture around the world. The Inca sacrificed children, people, ancient Chinese were doing the same thing. It's everywhere. So you have to, that was one thing that kind of brought me into this stuff. It's like, why are all these elite people throughout history performing sacrifices? Why would they be doing that? What are they getting out of it, right? Because you don't do that for no reason.
And what's
So
interesting also, the tie-in between the elite, so-called, and their heinous activities and garden variety, so-called serial killers. So many of them, the voices and the demonic force working through them compels them to get into the occult, compels them to get into black magic. Jeffrey Dahmer
yes.
was in the process of building like this little temple made out of human body parts, right?
Yeah, he had one kind of already built, right? He had skulls lined up, an altar. And there were newspaper clippings about that, about how he may have been into Satanism, but I don't think they really went too deeply into it. I wonder how much they obscured, in that case, about it. 'Cause I think if you really looked hard at Jeffrey Dahmer, you'd find some more occult aspects. I just have that feeling, right?
Well, we see similarity with other serial killers. Clearly, Richard Ramirez was another example of that. And then David Berkowitz, who, tried to
Shadow
say
Sam.
over and over that he was part of a cult. He didn't do this all alone. Finally, if you saw the documentary about him, the guy who had been following his story for so long finally sat down in a face-to-face interview. And although Berkowitz was very guarded, which tells you that even in prison, he's scared of retribution, he said, no, he didn't kill all the people. Other times, other members of his group, his cult, did that. And we have to remember that for so long, The Bureau was under the malign influence, still under the malign influence, but Kenneth Lanning, the special agent who specialized in debunking anything to do with Satanism, anything to do with cult abuse, if that was his name correctly, Kenneth Lanning, and he was tied in with the what's that? False memory recall group, right? He was tied in with them. So they made a point of having the special agent go around to all these talk shows, essentially debunking, cult satanic activity. And on the other side of the coin, you have l real legitimate whistleblowers like Ted Gunderson, who I knew personally, who actually was interested in my reptilian research and asked me about it. And, the work that he did, McMartin Preschool, what have you, clearly there is this connection between, and it goes back to the days of yore, call them Nephilim, call them demigods, whatever the case may be, people who literally believe they are descended from the gods, from these non-human beings, and as part of their ideology, their cult, what have you, they believe in human and animal sacrifice. And then when you look at how the institutions are set up, with the food, the additives, everything in our system is designed to harm humans and by extension, harm their spirits and harm their souls. And it goes back once again. And this is a direct correlation, a tie-in with the work done in places like Dulce, Los Alamos, elsewhere. And nobody asks, well, why does the Department of Energy have this interest in the Human Genome Project? What's that all about? Why are they so interested in genetics? Well, not only is it a source of potential power, but there's definitely a spiritual tie-in to DNA.
Absolutely. Yeah, we saw that happen in 2020, right? That was a big thing. Genetics and take this gene therapy, right? Yeah.
Quite out in the open now.
It is.
Where governments around the world are being questioned by members of parliament. What's up with this, mRNA gene transfer technology? And a lot of these senators and congressmen and parliamentarians, you can tell they've done the same kind of research that we do, the way they're grilling regulators and stuff and the questions they're asking. So someone had taken the time to imbue into those treatments, not only nanotech, but also the spiritual element. And if you're familiar with the work of, I think they're called the La Quinta team in Portugal or Spain, somewhere in the Iberian
Yes,
Peninsula.
Spain, I believe.
Yeah. They say
La Quinta
straight up,
Colombia.
they say that's them. They say straight up, this is some kind of weird alien demonic technology. And some of the other researchers that have delved into this, people that had formerly been in the pharma industry or had done a lot of research and what have you, with a medical background, they're saying the same thing, that there is some kind of demonic element to this. And I would agree, because if you, it's probably not too different here to there, but I'm just noticing just the behavior of people in general and of motorists, right? It's like there's so many people tailgating you. There's so many people playing games in front of you, switching lanes and trying to block you off. There's so many people on a razor's edge of just effing losing it because they've been under this malign influence, this non-human influence, and it's essentially enmeshed itself, what I call the interface. It's essentially interfaced with them to the extent that it's now controlling their actions and their behaviors and their thoughts, Patrick. And across the board, you multiply that out to all the people going through it. Okay, we have a planet in serious trouble.
Absolutely. I've definitely noticed a difference. People are have kind of lost it, or they're just the IQ has plummeted, but going back to what you said about the demonic quality of this, Rudolf Steiner famously said that 100 years in the future there will be, he said this in like the 18 or 1900s. He said 100 years in the future there will be a shot that basically loosens the soul from the body. And I mean, there's so much truth in that. I think I think they're really trying to keep people grounded in matter and away from ascending into their spirituality. So when you read works like that, there is a great importance in the blood too, especially, Rudolf Steiner said the blood is a very special fluid, and he talked about angels and demons and the etheric nature of blood. I think they're after that as well, which goes back to the rituals and stuff too. But definitely, stay away from these special shots. I think that there's more to it than we know in materialist science.
And that's the thing, is this trend has been ongoing for some time since the Rockefellers took over medicine as we know it, by bankrolling the medical schools and essentially creating the pharmacology industry out of thin air. There's definitely a spiritual component to this. And I like how you mentioned about the Nazi hierarchy too, because similar to the hierarchies of other elites around the world, there's this interface, this enmeshment between controlled, if you will, drug abuse on the one hand, and also, pagan, essentially pagan so-called occulted practices, even down to the way the uniforms are, the death's head insignia, a lot of the rituals, a lot of the ceremony behind it. There's definitely an energy behind that, which it translates into practice, because as you pointed out, everything manifests first in the spiritual world before it manifests in the physical world. Thoughts are things. Thoughts give
Definitely.
rise to actions to behavior, to habits, et cetera.
And it's funny, I wanted to do the Nazi stuff because so many people are fooled by this. And I'll admit history, I totally believe that history is not exactly as they portray it, but so many people are fooled thinking that they're good guys when really they were sort of like controlled opposition, in my opinion. And you could see that in the symbology and symbolism that they use, the death's head, which if you trace it back goes, I mean, it goes back to pirates and everything, the black sun, all of that. I don't know how you can look at them and see, you don't see the occult meaning behind all their symbols.
Well, there was an understanding. They had the SS Onanerba division that went around the world, including Tibet, looking for this kind of information. So even though Spielberg is a person of questionable character, let's say, even in the Indiana Jones movie, the first one, Raiders of the Lost Ark, they plug right into that aspect of the Nazi elite and their obsession with the so-called occult. And our listeners, yours and mine, know that occult merely refers to something that which is hidden. It's nothing is intrintsically spooky or evil. But in the recent past, what's happened, as you've alluded to, is, well, the Nazis were really just misunderstood good guys. And without delving into, issues which will result in this being censored, banned, and be called deniers or whatever the case may be. Right. In my studies of World War II and operations and, the European theater, there's no question in my mind that, the German troops, not just Waffen SS or Allgemeine SS, but also just the regular Feldgrau, the Heer, the German army, so many of them were so indoctrinated that they had no qualms taking prisoners out, lining them up and shooting them. Right. They had no qualms about, oh, well, there is some kind of terroristic activity against our soldiers. Someone shot through a rocket one of our soldiers in one of our trucks, and now we got to take 20 of your males and hang them up or send them off to, an Arbeitslager, a work camp. So there's no doubt that they were brutal in that regard. Anyone who's lived under them, and the accounts that you have, it's because that ideology, once again, that was driving them. And curiously, also, does it just happen to be an ideology where they regarded themselves, the elite, as this kind of blonde-haired, blue-eyed kind of Aryan kind of super race? And what's interesting, I'm not laughing because I think it's funny. I'm laughing because the subject at times makes me nervous. But I had this dream years ago, whether it was a parallel reality, a futuristic timeline, whatever the case may be. But it seemed to be in the future, kind of more advanced, let's say, society than you see around us. And I was on the surface and I was conscious. I was on the surface. I was on an extremely long escalator that, descended way down, to the ground level. And there were these very high-tech looking buildings and architecture and shops around me, I guess. And in my mind's eye and in my thoughts, because there seemed to be people of looking like Tibetans, right, around me, as well as, Caucasians, Westerners. And then I would occasionally glimpse these individuals who look like right out of a science fiction movie, of these guys, these tall, Aryan, square-jawed, blue-eyed, blonde-haired SS men in SS black uniforms. And they were around, walking around the surface, and they seemed to be, I had this thought in my mind at the time, they're in league with the black sorcerers from Tibet. And if you ever came across that book, Darkness Over Tibet, written by this German or European explorer, he wrote two books actually, and he talked about how he wound up through fate, happenstance, whatever the case may be, in the underground Forbidden City. And spoiler alert for those who haven't read the book, this guy was actually on the run from the Nazis too, because he was spilling some of their occult secrets. Well, long story short, he learned firsthand that these Tibetan sorcerers, black sorcerers, had a way through some kind of sodomy practice to reanimate corpses, freshly deceased individuals. Whatever residual chi was in these individuals through some form of black magic sodomy, whatever the case may be. These adepts, these warlocks, were able to, jumpstart it enough to be able to make these corpses automatons. Not much thought, no free will, but just, animated enough to be slaves. And they populated the underground base. But anyway, here I am in this dream alternate reality scenario. And in my mind, there's this connection between these Aryan Nazi SS supermen and these dark Tibetan, sorcerers. And then lo and behold, I keep doing all this research and I find out that, the Nazis were into this stuff decades ago. In fact, that's what came up in the Temple of Doom movie, the second in the Indiana Jones, where from that perspective, it was Indians, and there's a whole thing about Nagas and the
Well,
headhunters over there. So
the Vril Society, which
the
was the
Vril
Nazis were
Society,
into,
yes.
was based on the Society of the Green Dragon, which was, I believe, a Tibetan society,
Yes.
right? So that spawned the whole thing.
That spawned the whole thing. So just your thoughts. I didn't mean to belabor the point.
No worries. Have you looked into like this whole idea of Nordic beings at all, though? Because that kind of goes back to, in my research, the whole blonde, blue-eyed thing, and what I believe they thought was the master race were basically these hybrids between the Nordics, what we call the Nordics, and reptilians.
Yes, I definitely believe there's something to that. It's a nuanced perspective. I haven't figured it out. But if one looks back to the days of yore, long before the dynastic, Egyptian era, which Egyptologists only go so far back, when even in their own kings list, they talk about their society going back 36,000 years plus, right? But isn't it curious that the even in the legacy era of the Pharaonic dynasties, the pharaohs, oftener as not, had type A blood. They had blue hair. They had blonde hair, blue eyes. In some of the mummies, Ramses the Fourth, I think it was, he's still well preserved. You can still see he had like blonde eyelashes and blonde hair. So clearly, the dynasties which ruled in Egypt, they did not resemble the natives. They weren't dark skinned. They weren't North African in appearance. They were blondes. And then when you look at the
And
this
sometimes
interwoven,
red hair too, right?
sometimes
Red
red hair,
hair.
yes. So you have this tapestry woven in where wherever there's this cult of the serpent brotherhood, dragon worship, etc., there seems to be this tie-in with what later became the ideal Aryan appearance of blonde hair, blue eyes, etc., etc. And you can see this throughout history and throughout the folklore around the world, where native peoples talk about these blonde-haired, fair-looking people showing up and, bestowing all this knowledge and what have you on them.
Yeah, even I did a thing about the Anasazi, right, which were a Native Indian tribe, and they were said to be pale-skinned, red-haired giants, and they're cannibals. There's all these legends, you know, going back to the Paiute people and even the Hopi about these red-haired, pale-skinned cannibals that would trap other natives and take them and eat them. So it is another through line throughout history.
And if you haven't had Hugh Newman on your show, he talks about the connection between megalithic sites around the world and giants. And I can clearly see how people can get that impression. Because if you look at the size and scale of just some of these blocks, right, they had to have technology or some kind of know-how, again, occulted. This know-how seems to have either been lost or deliberately obscured to move all these blocks into place. And you look in Mesoamerica and just the irregularly shaped stones, which they all just crammed together with no gap in between. It's almost like they did this to perplex us further down the track,
Also, a huge link there too. It could be technology, but also if you read like you know the occultists of the 18th, 19th century, like Rudolf Steiner, they talk about the sort of evolution in the previous epochs, like Lemuria, Atlantis, and they basically say that we started from a more non-physical, spiritual, point, and then evolved into matter. We talk about the fall, right? It was a fall into matter, into frequency. So if they built the pyramids during Lemuria, they certainly wouldn't have been heavy blocks like we know of today, right? So that's another aspect to sort of add into it that I think most people don't really delve into.
I'm glad you brought that up. One of the guys I had on my show, Bruce Fenton, he's a brilliant guy. If you listen to him, he talks about these meteor showers 800,000 years ago, which were not random meteor showers. There's a worldwide event that seemed to be a kill mission, whoever sent them in. And if one follows the lore of what the ETs and then the contactees interacting with certain ETs are saying, that this meteor storm was a reprisal against the Draco, the reptilians who had designs on taking over this planet way back when, and these other friendly ET beings, Leonines, line beings in particular, said, F that, we're going to send, a meteor storm to just wipe out your surface installations and hopefully get to your subsurface installations. And I hope I'm not digressing from what you said, but the point of relevance is that there seems to be this ongoing conflict also. Dr. John Brandenburg talks about how Xeon 29 and these other elements, which can only be the byproducts of nuclear fission, have been found in massive quantities on Mars, to the point where he hypothesizes two mega hydrogen bomb airbursts were utilized to destroy, the denizens that lived on the surface of Mars. And Linda Moulton Howe and Brandenburg and others, they have like a head scratching moment, because from what they've learned and from what they've gleaned from their studies is, at best, there may have been what was referred to as a Bronze Age civilization on the surface. So why all that effort to wipe them all out? Well, I would say maybe the bronze level surface, if that's what they were collateral damage. I hate to use that term. Maybe they were after something else, and those people just happened to be there. But no, so what? We'll wipe them out the way they, burn up all these forests here with directed energy weapons. They don't care about the flora, the fauna, and the people who live there, right? So what I'm seeing, going back to what you're saying, is there is definitely this tie-in with this occulted knowledge And there's that guy, the Coral Castle guy in Florida or wherever that was. Somehow he'd gleaned or uncovered one of the secrets of the ancients, the ability to move and place things, apparently using sound. And we know in some of the Eastern mystical orders, and there's video that purports to show this, just using sound, some of these adepts were able to make themselves and things levitate. So I think that there's some truth in that as far as using sound waves to move these blocks, which is not advanced technology. It's just a
Right.
know-how.
Yeah. That definitely could be the case. There is technology like that. Yeah, the stuff that we don't utilize, but it's out there. The meteor thing is su super interesting. I've delved into that a little bit, but that's so fascinating to me because it seems to be something that pops up during historical events, and there seems to be some kind of some kind of agenda behind them, whether positive or negative. Or you see it a lot during like the plague era, these maybe like resets. You always see like comets or meteors. Have you delved in any deeper into that stuff?
The ancients seem to have a better understanding of comets than we do. Like today, modern astrophysicists come up with this nonsense about comets being just big ice balls, but that wouldn't account for how they can light up. Like we had this comet do a close flyby 15, 20 years ago, and NASA and JPL shut down the feed because it was emitting this bright green glow, right? Well, what kind of an ice ball is that? But if one studies the work of Professor James McCanney, and he talks about, and this ties directly into the plasma electric model, which I believe is the correct model of the physical universe, it makes perfect sense that these things, these planet-sized comets or bigger, come into our solar system, interact with the electrical field of our solar system. And then you have sparks fly. And then David Talbot, in his work in Thunderbolts of the Gods, what have you, said that this may have been a reason why, and I think there's more of a literal reason for this, but at any rate, how it's been interpreted as a metaphor. The ancient said, well, Jupiter or Mars threw a thunderbolt here, and this planet replied by a thunderbolt or a laser bolt or whatever there. And he likened that to the reactions of these extra planetary bodies coming into our solar system, interacting with the electrical field here, interacting with the sun, and causing all this huge light show, which some of the Native Americans carved into their rock walls depictions, which he likens to, and this is the beauty of scale and variance, because what's seen in the and the cosmos can be scaled down to what people see in the plasma physics laboratory, the same light phenomena, the same shape and what have you of thunderbolts and I forget the term of these currents that some of these people describe in their terminology, but it's been faithfully reproduced by these Native Americans on the rock walls, right? So the theory goes that this is what they observed in the heavens. And so they put this down, for posterity's sake on the rock walls. Point being is that they're observing a plasma electric energetic reaction to something. And getting back to your point, throughout history, whenever there's been these big resets, there have always been signs and wonders in the sky. And we're seeing the same thing, which is routinely written away, written off these days. And I like your thoughts on this. And before we round out the first segment, it's been a fascinating discussion with you. The blue beam meme is so persistent among surface level truthers who have zero understanding of a long history of recovered alien craft, recovered alien bodies, the back engineering of alien technology. Their programming holds that everything of like this woo-woo advanced craft nature or light phenomenon in the sky. Of necessity, it has to be blue beams, scalar waves, harp, etc. What are your thoughts on that?
Oh man, that's a great conversation. Yeah, I've noticed that, and I've come to the understanding that blue beam I think seems more like a disinfo campaign at this point to me, because so many, I mean, the comments that I get is like everything that I post about alien beings or UFOs or anything, it's like automatically blue beam, hologram, it's fake, right? And so there, it's a great way to get the public off of the understanding that there are other beings, there are spiritual beings out there. So the media loves to, they love to post things that are both true and not true at the same time, is what I've noticed. And so they'll give you something true but skewed in a way that people who are slightly awake will think that it's fake. You know what I mean? There's all this like really in-depth like reverse psychology that they do. But so yeah, I think I see Bluebeam as, yes, it's certainly possible. They have the ability to do holograms, and they may even enact some of that stuff. But if the public is caught off guard in thinking that everything is a hologram, everything is fake, aliens are fake, then where's that going to leave us, right? We're at a real disadvantage there if we don't have the understanding that, yes, these things do exist, but the way that they're portraying them is wrong or skewed.
Neatly sidesteps the hardware issue, the recovered craft and the technology, which has been studied and back and engineered for 70 plus 80 years by now, right? At least. And there are reports of a crash retrieval in the Dallas Fort Worth area, 1897, the Great Airship Wave. And then, Italy apparently had their own crash retrieval in 1933 or early 1930s at any rate. So it sidesteps all of that. And a lot of the disinformation also came from Jacques Vallée, who insisted, and he tried to bully boy and big shot everybody, saying, well, there's no proof that these are extraterrestrial. However, they're all interdimensional. That explains everything, which, again, it sidesteps the hardware issue. If recovered technology was recovered on Earth that's of non-human, non-earthly origin, clearly, because the materials came from elsewhere. Well, it's no longer interdimensional because it's in our dimension now. If you really want to split hairs about it, okay, I
I
can
think they're
just say,
phasing back and forth,
I
right?
think
That's
that's
it seems
exactly
like
what's
that's their
happening.
tech.
But it's not mutually exclusive with the notion of an extraterrestrial civilization in our cosmos and our plane of existence, because some of these civilizations may have probably have developed the means to ingress and egress out of other dimensions other than our own. And some of the people that I've talked to, who I trust implicitly, that have been used as my labs over the years, they were told and shown in no uncertain terms that we have the means, we being this deep black, this is what they told some of my trusted friends, we have the means not only to go off world to other stars in our physical universe, we can go to other planes of existence, other dimensions, right? Because as Tesla pointed out, and I'm paraphrasing here, with resonance, anything is possible. And it goes back to what Bruce Fenton talked about. I digressed from what I was talking about, what Bruce had to say about the meteor, intentional meteor storms. He pointed out, and I got this also in a book written by a couple who had past life memories of essentially being human-looking aliens a long time ago on Earth, who were involved in a war, one of a never seemingly never-ending series of wars between other alien civilizations, which resulted in the Great Desert Southwest becoming the Great Desert Southwest in America, right? It didn't always start out like that, but something happened, something of a nuclear nature, perhaps, which turned that place into a desert. Point being is that that couple who wrote that book, A Midsummer Night's Song, I forget, I loaned the book out, silly me, I never saw it again, hard to find. And they have clear memories of having had a past existence as what we would call a Palladian or something like it. And aside from being involved in that conflict that turned the Desert Southwest into the Desert Southwest, they were in Egypt also, and they coexisted with the surface population in Egypt, where the physical pyramids at the Giza Plateau are. there is a counterpart beneath it of a pyramid, subsurface pyramid structure, but it's offset into another dimension. Okay. Now, I thought that was very interesting because in that other dimension, they still have physicality density, but it's all synced up for their frequency, their place, if you will. And then you fast forward to today, some of the research that Jorge Martin in Puerto Rico has done, there seems to be this large underground alien base in the El Yunque forest, but the locals, and I think to some degree Jorge Martin believes this too, it's not just an entrance way into an underground alien lair. They get the very strong impression that it's an entryway into another dimension entirely. Okay, so this goes back to how they go to such extreme lengths to instill this reductionist mindset into us. Everything has to be broken down into a particle, into a subparticle. Nothing can exist beyond the physical senses, which, if one studies the work of David Bohm, the Implicate Order, and you look at Michael Talbot, who turned out to be an alien abductee, by the way, in his books, Beyond the Quantum and the Holographic Universe. No, it's a lot more complex and a lot more simpler than that at the same time, Patrick.
And in speaking of inner Earth and under all that, in occult science, it's understood that there are sort of physical layers beneath the Earth, but also at a certain point, it hits spiritual layers, other dimensions. And one of the spiritual laws is as above, so below. So it's all connected, you read about like Steiner's eighth sphere. It's basically the lower fourth dimension. It's basically the astral realm. So I think that's all connected. And when you put all that stuff together, you can see how it kind of it all coalesces.
We've reached the end of a fascinating first segment with Patrick. Patrick, can you tell my viewers and listeners how they can find your work and how they can find your podcast?
Absolutely. I'm on youtube.com/alighton. I'm on Spotify. That's one of my main platforms, A Light on Spotify. I also have a backup channel on BitChute. I believe it's bitchute.com/alighton. So yeah, you can find me in those main places. And Instagram, Light On Podcast.
To our dear listeners out there, if you like what we do, if you believe in what we do, please go to thecosmicswitchboard.com, sign up, become a member, and we'll see you at the top of the next segment.